Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Five.
Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the god Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed.
Greeble, greeble,
greeble.
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name's Beef. I hope you're doing all right. Thanks for tuning in. Wherever you're listening, you're very welcome. It's good to have you.
keep that. That's a really shit one, but you can keep it. I want you to keep that. It's very fitting.
as ever, I've got two of my best friends with me, and they're going to co-host with me this evening. So say hello, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
And say hello, Mr. Tissy.
Hello, Tissy.
How are you boys doing?
Yeah, well, we've just been chatting for half an hour.
But yeah, good.
Yeah.
I've just handed in my big final English essay at university. So that was exciting and tiring. And I might be buying a house, which is exciting and tiring. So yeah. I'm exhausted.
Lots of exhausting things going on all at the same time then.
Yes, but I am going on holiday next week, Beefy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me do that again. Oh, yeah, where are you going?
I'm going to Montenegro.
Ooh, very nice.
I'm in need of a holiday. I purposefully booked it so that it would be 1 week after I handed in my final English essay, so I could just, like, go and chill out somewhere nice.
Nice. How long are you going for?
Just over a week, like 8-9 days, something like that. Nice. But we're just staying in some small town, so it's not like an adventure holiday, none of that. We're just going to get in, stay in this little town right in this bay, and maybe go out on a boat or something, yeah, just chill out for a week.
Lovely. Yeah. We're going away next week as well, but it's nowhere near as glamorous as that.
Pontins. Because that's where Tish just got back from.
No, it's not Pontins. What Pontins did you go to?
Southport.
What Pontis did you go to? Southport, Pontis.
Pontis?
Yeah.
You know where I went, don't you, Beef?
Was that Bangface?
Yeah,
Bangface.
Was it?
Was it as good as last year, Tiss? Because the listeners got to hear all about it last year.
Yeah, it was. It's hard to compare.
Did you go to the tractor museum?
I did. No, it's the lawnmower museum.
Oh, sorry. Much more exciting.
I didn't go to the Lawnmower Museum. I didn't.
Well, you've been once. You don't need to go again.
No, I didn't go the first time. No. You didn't bother going.
You just said
it sounded good.
It wasn't my obsession. It was Tim's obsession, to be honest.
And he still never went.
Gosh.
He still never went. And this year, he was looking after Dion, so he couldn't go. Sheila, his partner, went and had a great time.
Is that a baby human?
Tim and Sheila's babby.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a daddy now, so he can't be at Bangface this year. But I think it'll probably be his turn next year. So maybe, who knows, update on the Lawnmower Museum next year.
Yes, please.
And once you're a daddy forever.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So where are you going, Beefy, that isn't as glamorous as Montenegro or Bangface?
We're just going camping to a place that I don't... Actually, this is the most unprepared I've ever been for a holiday. I don't know where it is.
I'm going somewhere.
Our friends have organised it for us. It'd be good.
Oh, so you're tagging along.
I think it's like... Yeah, I think it's the Cotswolds.
You think?
It's out that way, I think. No, it should be good. It should be good. Be good fun. Dan and Em Smith are going.
Oh, yeah.
From listeners might remember Dan and Em from Halloween Campfire Special 4 years or five years ago.
He went to, they came to two of them, and Dan also did a discussion episode of us. About,
that's right.
Was it the Fear one?
It must have been, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Definitely
good one.
At least six.
Good episode.
It was a good episode. So if you've not heard that, go back and listen to Fear. Yeah, so we're going with those guys and a few other guys from church. So it'd be fun. I just struggle with camping. The first day's a nightmare, and the last day's a nightmare.
I was going to say, I'm not a great camper.
Like the middle bit, if it's nice weather, it's fine.
Yes, that's all right.
It's, and as it happens, I mean, I don't know why I didn't really... doing camping with kids is stressful.
Yeah, really?
Well, again, the middle bit is really fun because they just play and keep themselves entertained. It's trying to put the tent up and get everything sorted with kids running around is, yeah. So, it'll be fun. But then we're going to France later in the year, so that'd be good.
Oh, lovely.
Well,
that's
yeah.
A nice
anyway,
big load of waffle.
So that's
what
the
are we
episode.
Actually talking about this week? Or is that it? Just talking about our holidays.
No. We have got an actual episode. It's one that I think a listener, and Bobby might be able to actually tell us who the listener was, suggested ages ago.
Oh, not off the top of my head. I don't know what it is.
But tonight we're going to be talking about biblical artifacts.
Ooh, yeah. We've had this recommended a few times, I think. Yeah, this would be a juicy one.
Yeah. So, and I've kind of always meant to do it.
For episode 195.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. So I've kind of been not putting it off. I think I was putting too much pressure on it that I'd have to get it perfect, but it
just like all our other perfect episodes.
Exactly. So should be pretty light, should be fun, hopefully. I'm hoping it'll be fun. But I'm just going to go through, I spent all of yesterday afternoon just fine tooth combing, if that's a phrase, the internet to find the best ones. There's lots, obviously.
You know what? I'm wondering if nowadays we could just get GPT, just to like, we're going to do an episode on this. Just give us a brief.
Yes. Just pick the best ones.
Was that what
yeah,
you did
exactly.
all afternoon yesterday on the internet?
No.
Well, that could definitely be done.
Yeah.
Easily.
Tis is thinking about doing that for his next one.
Oh my God, I wasn't, but now I am.
I didn't get it to help me with my essay, but I did show it my essay at the end and was like, do you think this is an effective argument?
And what did it say?
He said, yeah. I said it backed up with sources and all this stuff. I was like, oh, that's good enough for me.
Fuck yeah.
Really?
Do you see what I mean? AI is just so, helpful in certain ways. The technology is like really far reaching.
In certain ways, yeah. Okay, we're not getting back on this.
Yeah.
We spent like the last five episodes talking about it.
The vortex of AI.
People fucking loved that AI episode, the discussion AI episode we did. People loved that. So thanks everyone.
There's enough hours of us on the podcast recorded for AI to mimic our entire mannerisms and voice now.
Yeah. So listeners, if we ever go away, you can carry on making them for us.
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
I mean, that brief that you sent was insane.
Oh, when I said, like, have you heard of the podcast Weird Tales? And it just
yeah.
went off on one. It was, like, literally, like, talking about our individual characters, like, what we're like as people. I was like, this is fucking weird.
I mean, surely it's gone to, like, Apple reviews.
But was that ChatGPT then?
Yeah. Oh, the one I posted in the chat.
How did it know who we were?
I don't know. I just posted, you know, do you know the podcast Weird Tales? And it just went off on one about us.
That's mad. We're famous.
Well, I knew that already.
Yeah. when we finished, I'm curious. I want to know if it will have picked the same biblical artifacts that I've picked. but that could have saved me some time. Thing is, there's loads of stuff out there that's not very interesting.
sounds so gutted that you didn't think of exploiting it.
Well, but
that
I don't,
could have really saved me some time.
I don't think it would have picked the same ones. I think there are some that will definitely.
It would have like curated you a few, right? And then, yeah.
But it also depends on. Yeah, it's not going to know what I find interesting, is it?
Well, no.
Or is it? No. So.
Oh, I'll tell you what I do with ChatGPT or whatever it's called. I talk to it in German to practice.
Wow.
Oh. And is it helpful? Does it reply in German?
Yeah, yeah. I say, you know, can we now speak only in German? And then we just talk in German. I just chat to it in German for a bit every day and it just helps me practice. And I just say every time I make a mistake, just pause the conversation and let me know where I've gone wrong.
That's amazing. Wow. I fucking told you.
And
AI
we talk
is
about,
fucking nuts.
I just talk about like what I'm cooking for dinner, what I went to see at the cinema recently.
What the fuck? I love that you're like, oh yeah, it's good for some things. Now you're like, I confer with AI every day on all my decisions.
Just about German. I just talk to it. If someone's talked to in German, they will correct me and I'd have to feel self-conscious and get in mistakes wrong.
Yeah.
You just know he's going to send Becker off packing because he's got AI now. He doesn't need anyone else.
But soon...
talking to it about the cinema, that's crazy.
Soon it will be like... You can actually talk to it and it will reply in real time, right?
Like Alexa?
Yeah.
No, better than Alexa, surely.
Well, yeah, I mean, better than the Alexa. The voice can be anything you want, I guess.
Sometimes they lie, though, that ChatGPT, because I said to him, how did you know all this stuff about Weird Tales? I said, can you tell me your sources? And it said yes, and then it just made up a load of bullshit. It was like, from this interview with Bob Shoy about like his favourite ghost stories. I was like, I did not have an interview with this magazine about my favourite ghost stories. I am him. I am he. I said, why are you lying? And it's just like, oh, sorry about that. I'm like, how can I trust you of anything?
I caught Tyrion. I spoke to an AI who was supposed to be Tyrion Lannister, and I was asking it Tyrion Lannister questions. And it wasn't getting them right. And I was like, you're not Tyrion Lannister, you're an AI. And we got to this whole like meta chat about itself and like it being apologetic that it couldn't supply me with an adequate copy. But yeah.
I was just asking it Tyrion Lannister questions.
Yeah. I was asking, only Tyrion would know.
Anyway, we should really get onto the topic. Right, Beef, tell us about some of these artifacts. Let's get going.
So just so I know what kind of things, like, maybe to start with, because I've got a whole bunch here. I might get through all of them. I might not. It just depends on how we get on, I suppose. Also, depend if it's boring, then obviously we'll get through all of them and we'll be done in 10 minutes. But have you guys, can you guys think of any biblical archaeological artifacts, anything that comes to mind?
Archaeological? So are we talking about things like the Shroud of Turin?
We could be. It depends on. Yeah, I'm just curious as to what you'd heard, like what kind of things you'd heard of.
There's that one.
So it could be archaeological, or it could be. Yeah, I don't know.
Some of them I remember the name of. I don't know. Shroud of Turin, isn't that like a cloth? Isn't it a shroud?
Is it? Yeah, I think it's a shroud they found in Turin.
Is it?
I guess I don't know.
Is it what the baby Jesus was swaddled in?
Well, I don't know. Was it? I think it's.
Isn't it proven bollocks or something?
I think my very brief knowledge I would have to check is that I think it's from that time period, from the same location.
Right.
But it could have also been a cloth used for... Like, it's probably got multiple uses, I think, so I don't think it's very airtight.
Right.
So, yeah, Tissy, have you got any logged away?
Any biblical artifacts logged away?
Yeah, just anything you'd heard of that archaeologists had found.
No.
I just thought of one. And Tis, you should know this because you said it about it to me. I only know about this because you mentioned it to me. Is the Dead Sea Scrolls something?
That...
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead Sea Scrolls, I guess.
You asked me about the Dead Sea Scrolls a few years ago, Tis.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
I think you'd watched a documentary on YouTube.
I know, I completely forgot about that. The thing is, on my brain, all I could think was the Holy Grail. My brain was just saying, Holy Grail, Holy Grail. But obviously, it's too obvious.
Well, we've also literally just done an episode about that.
Well, yeah, exactly. That too.
So, was that was the one you were thinking of, Bob? You said the...
Dead Sea Scrolls.
The Dead Sea, I remember Tis mentioning that to me, which must have been when he asked you about it. It was quite a few years ago. We was doing the pod, yeah, but it was like fairly early days of the pod. He mentioned it, and I'd never heard of them.
Yeah.
I have heard of them now, but I don't know much about them.
Well, hopefully you'll learn some stuff. I certainly did yesterday.
Aren't they like the missing portions of the Bible?
Well, maybe I'll come on to that later on. I've got a few. I reckon there's probably a few more that you might have heard of. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sorry to be crass, but didn't someone claim a few years ago that they had Jesus's foreskin?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
How could you possibly know that? And where have people been finding mummified foreskins?
Can you carbon date a foreskin?
Could you clone him?
Carbon date.
What, a foreskin?
Yeah.
This is the first I've ever heard of this. So it's not on my list, thankfully.
I might be thinking of something completely different.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, the amount of people that would probably
Definitely claimed that, you know, yeah.
Well, it's obscene. Just going through my list, there are definitely a few here that I think when I mention them, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'd heard about like that, or you might even recognise what I'm talking about. But there are a few there are ones that I didn't know about.
I'm sure there's more that I've heard of, yeah.
So we're going to start with one that I don't think you will have heard of. We're going to start with the Cursed Tablet of Mount Ebal.
No, I don't know that.
I hadn't heard about it until yesterday.
What's it called? The Cursed Tablet of what?
Mount Ebal, E-B-A-L.
Oh, Mount Ebal. No, I don't know that.
Ebal, yeah. So Mount Ebal is mentioned in Deuteronomy 11 and also in Joshua 8. It's obviously geological location. But the Cursed Tablet...
What did they eat?
Sorry?
What did he eat?
What did they eat?
What did he eat, Joshua?
Oh, this is going to be a terrible joke, isn't it? I don't know. Go on. What did he eat? What did Joshua eat? Go on.
Well, no, you said Joshua ate. What did he eat?
Oh. That was worse than an actual joke. That was terrible. Sorry. It was like a proper dad joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Joshua, chapter 8.
Why was 10... Why is it? Why is 10 scared of 7?
No, it's not that.
Yes, it is.
Because 7, 8, 9.
No.
Yeah, it's 10.
Why is it then 6 scared of 7? 6 scared of 7, that's it.
I thought it was 10 because he already had 9. I mean, there's probably been a million ways of saying it. It's not a good joke.
It's not a good joke.
But neither was Tiss's, so...
I reckon every number on that chart is scared of 7 after 7, 8, 9, to be fair.
Apart from 9, because he's already...
Yeah. Yeah.
So surely...
Listeners, you can use your imagination to think about what I was doing with my hand and face when I made that noise.
Why is 9 not afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9...
Can't believe this is what we're talking about.
Tell us about really this, you can't.
I mean, I could just about barely understand that that you made that a joke. Yeah,
I mean, listeners can barely understand what's going on.
I may.
Cursed Tablet of Mount Ebal. So Mount Ebal geographically is where?
Yeah. See, this is where I didn't do my homework, and I don't actually know.
Right. Somewhere, so it's mentioned in the Bible, though. It's legit.
It's in Israel. Right. So it's like Jerusalem area, basically.
Is it Jerusalem? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll just say yeah. Just say it's there. Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah,
somewhere around there. No, it is. It's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably Jerusalem.
It's probably Jerusalem. I mean, it won't be too far from that whole area.
Yeah, just around about that whole area, yeah.
I mean, listeners are going to be used to this, like, shoddy research by now. So, I've got the... And this is Old English Bible here, Deuteronomy 11. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt set the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And then this is Joshua. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. So this tablet was found in 2019, so quite recently.
Oh, this is a modern thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not long ago at all.
Don't know how I feel about that.
What makes you question it more, or?
Yeah, it took him 2019 years to find it.
Bit lazy, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know why they unearthed it so late.
Oh, it was unearthed. It wasn't just like someone on a hike.
It says unearthed, so I guess maybe...
Right, okay.
Buried under a lot of stuff, I suppose. Mm. It's also... So this is... Sorry, just giving credit to the Institute of Biblical Archaeology for this information, by the way.
Shout out to the Institute.
They've dated it to the late Bronze Age period. And it basically, this tablet contains a really ancient Hebrew inscription, which they deciphered, and I think it's taken them some time to decipher what it said.
Oh, so it was dated?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
But the...
Won me back.
Yeah, dated... 1400 to 1200 BC.
Ooh, okay.
So, pretty old.
Juicier. Yeah.
But they've obviously done all their homework and discovered that it can be translated as... so this is what it says on the stone.
Okay.
Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed.
Ooh.
So it's pretty strong words.
Oh, you know, this one's really won me round.
But it's it parallels pretty much exactly what it says in Deuteronomy 11 and Deuteronomy 27 and then Joshua chapter 8, in which they
nip that one in the bud.
The biblical writers record the construction of this altar and the inscription. And obviously the way they were able to tie this quite quickly to, you know, the right time period and actually confirm that it is this, the right artifact, is that it's the earliest use of, it's the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. That's the only time period really, like, where that was the word that they would use for him. So, and I tried to find a picture of it for ages, but I think they've kind of got it tucked away whilst they're trying to figure out where they want to put it. I think we're trying to lay claim to it.
Underneath the Vatican?
No, I think they're trying to get it in the British Museum.
Ooh.
But we've got loads of stuff in there, so I think they're trying to...
We have got loads of stuff in there.
They have got a load of
stuff
already.
I've never actually been.
Have you not? It is good.
No.
Tiss, have you been to the British Museum?
Yeah, British Museum I've been to quite a few times.
I've never been.
It's amazing. It's free.
Yeah, aren't most museums are in London, aren't they, or in the UK?
Yeah.
It's good. Rachel took me years ago.
I've never been there.
So, the fact that it's cursed, why is it... What kind of curse are we talking?
Just because it says cursed.
So, I think the... So, at the time, you had the Canaanites and the Israelites.
Yeah.
My understanding was that they... this was a an altar that was dedicated to... like a pagan god. And so I think the Israelites cursed it at the site where they basically worshipped this pagan god. So it was basically a way of being like, God's going to curse you for worshipping the wrong god here. But yeah, the Israelites had beef with the Canaanites for a long time. The Canaanites were nasty buggers. Really gnarly thugs.
Mm.
But they threw curses around quite a lot in the Old Testament. They love a good curse in the Old Testament.
The thing I'm thinking with the stone, what are the chances back in those days? Was everyone quite serious, or do you reckon you get like jokers?
Say that again.
Do you reckon you get people with like good sense of humours back in those days? Or do you reckon that's been beaten out of them?
Or was everyone very serious all the time?
That's a good question.
I think when it came to like, you know, gods and things, it was treated very seriously. I don't think there'd be like joshing around about that stuff.
You don't reckon there's anyone that's a little bit sort of dejected and just like, oh, fucking, I can carve stones, I'm going to just carve fucking curse, curse, curse on a stone and just see how people react.
Also, was everyone literate back then?
No.
Because they might not even be able to read curse, curse, curse.
No, it wouldn't have been everyone. But I'm saying the chances of someone in power who could do that being quite kind of like, you know, sort of rebellious, just being like, fuck it, I'm gonna...
Some rich person's Grebo teenager.
Grebo teenager.
What's that era's equivalent of a Grebo beef is basically what we're saying.
Yeah.
Because
you always rebel against your parents, didn't you? And if you got like loads of money...
Oh, so their dad was super religious.
Maybe.
Grebo.
Grebo.
I mean...
I'm just saying, what are the chances?
I've heard that word for a long time. No,
now,
I see what you mean.
Now,
so basically,
if we found one now, we would genuinely be like, someone made that. Do you know what I mean? Like, nowadays, we believe...
Well, yeah, someone did make it.
...that the
yeah.
likelihood is that someone else made it. If someone made it... Yeah, I guess... Do
yeah,
you know
someone
what I mean?
Did make it.
When it's like from ages ago, we take it way more serious than now.
Yeah. So it could just be someone like, fucking around. Now we're like examining it yeah. like it's some... That's okay. true. Yeah, that is a possibility.
I guess, so it wasn't necessarily that everyone was like hyper-religious back then. It was more just a case of, obviously, their understanding of the world and their scientific knowledge was... super, super limited. So they attributed everything to gods, but they had different mm-hmm. gods for different things. So they would have had a god for the sun, god for the rain. There would have been a god for the provision of all sorts of crops. So there would have been different gods for different crops, different gods for, and then they had like different gods as to like, so they had like weather gods, but then they would have
how do you keep track of
a
them?
God that would bless the weather to make your crops grow.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't understand. Obviously, they had absolutely no understanding of how the world worked. So it was just attributed to, well, there must be a bunch of gods pulling all the strings.
I love the way when we talk about like previous like cultures, we talk about them like they're fucking idiots. They had yeah. no idea.
Yeah. In the same way that, you know.
Honestly, they had no idea, mate.
But do you reckon, because it's quite bleak back then, like peasant life and stuff, do you reckon they'd have like working class people have a dark sense of humour and a sort of, you know what I mean?
Peasant's life.
I think humour would have been, that's a really good question. That's a question for Rachel, actually. I think,
because jesters existed, so they understood the...
They would have humour.
Dark humour must have existed.
Yeah.
It's not like a modern thing.
I guess so.
No.
Well, you think it probably would have been a lot darker than our humour.
That's what I mean, and it's like...
Because you think how violent they were as a people as well. In biblical times, just violence was just normal life.
Yeah.
Peasant's life sounds like some sort of indie RPG or get off Steam.
It'd be quite cool to play a peasant's life. Not in real life, but in a game.
I don't know. Do you know what? That's such a good question. I'm going to ask Rachel because I think it deserves an answer.
Well, hey, it does deserve an answer.
So, 1 second. She was just down here warming up her dinner as well. I could have asked them.
In olden times, did they have dark humour?
Oldie times.
Olden times.
In the before four times.
Did people have dark humour?
When you were a kid, you always refer to like everything before now as like in olden times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olden times.
In the old days.
In olden times.
Times gone old.
I mean, olden times now has got to be like the 90s, surely.
No, anything before I was born.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so I've sent the message. We'll see what comes of it. So that's pretty much all we know about the cursed tablet.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
It's I thought it was a good starter.
And a little bit extra now we know that it could have been a trickster.
I don't think it was a trickster. Well,
some little stinker.
Some dark-humoured stinker.
Hebrew alphabet and literacists, if that's a word. I don't know. The people that study this sort of stuff all the time.
Linguists,
sorry, that's the word I've been looking for. Say that this is one of the most important biblical finds ever.
Potentially, though.
Mainly, I think,
they don't
because
know.
Of
if
the...
If it was some stinker, then it might not be that important.
I think potentially because of how it's basically spot on with what's quoted in the Bible. So it's like the inscription is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there we go. So we'll move on from there. So I was just checking my notes to make sure I covered everything I needed to cover.
Yeah, I like that one. Never heard of that, but that was that's interesting.
So we're going to move now on to one that I'm pretty certain you will have heard of. We're going to talk about the Rosetta Stone.
The Pope's Hat.
The Pope's Hat.
Oh, the Rosetta, the Rosetta Stone. Yeah, we've talked about this. This has come up on the pod before.
So we talked about it a little bit, but it feels like it's, you know, it's right up there in terms of probably what's more famous. Napoleon invaded Egypt in 1798, and he brought with him a big team of scientific people, teams of scholars and people to survey the land and try and find out what's going on. And
just Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know nothing about
him,
really, other than he was on boats. I never knew he went to Egypt.
Yeah, apparently. Neither did I until yesterday. This is what's interesting. I don't know much about these things at all. Rachel would probably know.
They're making a film about him, aren't they? Maybe I'll learn about it in that.
So, yeah. So, the most important thing that they found on the expedition was the Rosetta Stone. And this is in the British Museum, so I have seen this.
Oh, right.
Which
I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Never been.
Yeah, we stole a lot of stuff, mate.
Have you ever been to the British Museum, Tess?
Yes.
It's going to keep going round.
So, basically, when I asked Rachel what the Rosetta Stone was...
Sorry, talking of museums, there's a museum in Leeds called the Leeds Museum.
Right.
And when you go in, you're like, yeah, it's just some local stuff. And then when you go downstairs, it's just full of mummies. And I'm just like...
Really?
What
are you doing here?
I was like a flabbergasted. Like, what is this guy doing in Leeds? It's all like animals upstairs and like local history. You go upstairs and it's full of fucking mummies.
Oh my God. What ones? Well, it can't be ones they found in Leeds.
Well, it can't be, but what the hell are they doing there?
They must have just run out of stuff and...
Yeah.
It's like the Aylesbury Museum. The Aylesbury Museum runs out of stuff in the first room.
Yeah, it's very much like the Aylesbury Museum, the Leeds Museum.
Which, I mean, Aylesbury is a town, isn't it? So it's going to be a bit...
Yeah, it's probably a little bit more of the Leeds one, but not that much. You'd be surprised.
We took Joel to the Roald Dahl Museum recently.
The museum or the gallery? The Aylesbury one or the Prince Risborough?
The Aylesbury one, sorry. The gallery or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
He loved it, had a great time, really enjoying the books.
I used to love it there.
And, it took me... Oh, man, I went through Fantastic Mr. Fox's tunnel.
You go
that
through
was,
there?
That was hard work. Hard work when you're 35.
Yeah, I bet.
Man alive, never doing that again.
Right, Rosetta Stone, it's in the British Museum.
Anyway, so the Rosetta Stone, what's it all about? It's in the British Museum, if you want to go see it. And why is it famous? Essentially, it's helped... decipher ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, so it's almost a bit like a...
It's a translator, basically, isn't it?
It's a bit like instruction manual, yeah, type translationary tool. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it dates back to 204 to 180 BC and is inscribed... It's got three scripts on it, one in Demotic, one in Greek, and then hieroglyphics.
Is it big?
Not Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's probably bigger than I thought it was going
to
be.
Well, I would just say to you, I've never seen it. I don't really know what it looks like. I used to think it was just an expression. And when someone told me about that it was a real thing, I thought it was like this, about this big. I'm holding a small tub of Vaseline up. I thought it was like a small red ruby, the way people talked about it. It's not like that, is it?
No, nah, Rosetta Stone's huge. Rosetta Stone's like bigger than a bathtub.
Right, okay.
What about compared to a double-decker bus? How big is it?
It's about the size of a double mattress, maybe two times.
If I'm going to try and send the thing in our chat so you guys can see how big it is. It is big.
I mean,
it's bigger than...
Let me just give it a quick search.
Oh, idiot. That's just the link. Anyway, it will take you to a picture I found.
Let's have a look. Rosetta.
It is pretty big, actually. I suppose it is about the size of a bathtub. Half a bathtub. Oh, actually, there's a picture here of people stood alongside it. It's probably the size of people.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, I can see it in context, in place, in the museum, with loads of people around it. Mm. Yeah, it's a big old block.
Yeah. And actually, the writing is pretty clear.
Hmm.
It's not like you'd have to really squint to see what's on it. It's
like someone got a big dining table and turned it up on its side so the tall end was up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that size.
Or a bathtub, as Tis.
Or a bathtub. It is like a bathtub, yeah. Bit wider, like a big, like a double, like if a bathtub was double mattress size, like a two-person bathtub.
Yeah.
Ooh, do they exist? Or is that just a hot tub, isn't it?
I think that's just like a love, one of those love ones, like...
A double...
Or am I thinking...
Love bath.
I think I'm thinking
of
the...
You know, like you get a mattress and a double mattress.
Yeah.
Do you get a bath? Can you get a double bath, like a double width bath? You can lay in it with someone.
I want one, because I think the bath, I can't fit in my bath. Too wide, mate. Need to lose some weight, I suppose. But, Tis, do you have a bath, or have you got a shower?
You can definitely fit in a bath.
I've got a bath.
I can fit in a bath, but just not very comfortably.
Yeah, but they're not very comfortable.
I've got a bath and I don't use it.
No, no one does.
No.
Oh, I really want one of those big, wide ones.
And listeners, if you do use it, I don't care. Don't email me that you use your bath. I'm being sweeping. I used to have a bath every day when I lived in Stukeley because we didn't have a shower.
Hmm.
I love a bath. I love a bath and a Kit Kat and put the iPad on and, yeah. Anyway.
I used to read in the bath every day, but then a couple of times I have been known to drop a book in the bath and then I forgot to dry it out on the radiator.
Man, that's the whole thing.
Pages all crinkly.
I forget it.
Anyway, Rosetta Stone, it's like a big bath on its upright.
So the Rosetta Stone is, the writing on the stone is an official message. So it's a decree about King Ptolemy V. And yeah, so this decree was copied onto this large stone that you guys have just looked at. And copies were made and put in every single temple in Egypt.
Mm.
So it's obviously what they found is incomplete. But they found plenty, you know, to go on to know how important it is in terms of deciphering language again and just trying to decipher language and how it was used. And so found, like I say, Bonaparte found it, 1798.
I didn't know Bonaparte found it.
I know, right? I didn't realise that either.
I didn't even know he went to Egypt.
No. I don't really know much about him, to be honest.
No. He was small, wasn't he?
He looks quite short, yeah.
That's the only thing I know about him.
I think he's quite short.
And he went around on boats.
Yeah. Boat apart.
Fucking sorry. Rubbish.
That's really bad.
I've stopped.
Didn't his ship get exploded and then he was Napoleon blown apart?
Really? Oh dear.
Didn't he get caught short? Didn't he get caught?
I fucking know where this
didn't
is.
Didn't he get caught short mid-coitus?
Oh my god.
Napoleon bonus chart.
Oh.
Napoleon bonus shot.
That's got to be the most juvenile joke I've ever, ever heard. That's got to be.
I knew he was going to try and bring shot into it. I just didn't know where he was going.
I mean, bonus shot for crying out loud.
That's awful. Like, that is absolutely awful.
So, so childish.
Oh, it's made me sweat. That made me sweat.
Oh, class.
Oh, yeah, that's good, that is.
I forget this is where you go quiet, because you're piecing it together in your head. Bonus shot. Yeah. Caught short whilst he... That's ridiculous.
Whilst mid-coitus.
Mid-coitus? The word coitus. So stupid.
Coitus is too much of a highbrow word for that punchline. fucking sweating.
Class. I'm happy with that one.
Wow.
Makes up for all the other shit ones, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah, because that was well good, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean... When you've got a shit pool to work with, that's a good one.
Wow. Right. I mean, it makes up for the Joshua 8 joke earlier.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. When I'm working with absolute shit material, that's great. Compared to, like, Joshua 8. Which, in hindsight, is really funny because it's really dumb.
Oh God! Right, I can't even remember where we were now. Yeah, the Rosetta Stone. No, Rosetta Stone. Napoleon got it. Yeah,
Napoleon got it. They translated. It took, like, from what I can tell, it took them like 60 years to translate the whole thing. So I don't think he got to wallow in the joy of his findings. I wanted to know what it says. And I couldn't remember from going to the British Museum what they actually translated it to in English. And then I found it earlier today, and it's really long. It's long. It's really long.
I was going to say, wouldn't it take forever to read?
I thought it wasn't. I was like, it's 14 lines in each language. But it turns out, obviously, one hieroglyph can be translated to an awful lot of language.
Right.
So it's very long. I'm literally just... What I'm going to do is just read one paragraph so that you get the kind of idea, and then...
Give us a gist.
Yeah, and then...
Or like you get an example.
Yeah, like, you know when you go on iTunes and you used to get 30 seconds free of a song
before you played? Oh, God, yeah.
That. Do you remember that?
God, that feels ancient, doesn't it?
I say that to Zachary the other day. He was like, "Oh, Spotify's so shit." I was like, "You have no idea. Like, this is. I mean, I know the artists get robbed, but it's like we used to have to get 30 seconds or pay 99p, mate."
I mean, I used to get Netflix sent to me on a disc in the post.
I know. Love Film.
Oh yeah, Love Film. I remember that now.
Yeah, because it was like Netflix or Love Film. They both did the same thing, but it was like which one's going to win out. But then Netflix beat them because they were the first to do the proper, like, full-on streaming service.
Yeah,
because I was subscribed to Love Film.
Yeah, I think I was as well.
Yeah, it was great.
I never had Love Film. I went straight from Blockbusters to Netflix.
Oh,
nothing in between.
One small step for man.
That's it. One small step for beef.
One giant leap for beefy. Right.
So here we go.
So it says on the Rosetta Stone.
Really, on the second one. On the 24th day of the month, which corresponds to the 24th day of the fourth month of the season of the inhabitants of Tamert in Egypt, in the 23rd year of the reign of Horus Ra the Child, who hath risen as king upon the throne of his father, the lord of the shrines of Nekhebet and Uhachet, the mighty one of twofold strength, the stabilizer of the two lands, the beautifier of Egypt, whose heart is perfect towards the gods, who maketh perfect the life of the Hamanet beings, The Lord of the this is one sentence. The Lord of the 30-year festivals like Vatar.
Too long.
I mean, I'm losing interest already. The Sovereign Prince, the King of the South and North. You get the kind of it's a decree, like it's
yes.
It's about King Ptolemy, which I don't know if that's a silent P before his name.
But I guess if you've got big old sentences in different languages, then that's how they piece them together. That's the
yeah. They probably missed a few punctuation marks at some point. That's the Rosetta Stone. Go check it out.
Did they have punctuation marks in hieroglyphics?
Huh? Sorry?
Did they have punctuation marks in hieroglyphics?
Don't know. Don't think so.
No, I don't think they had capital letters, a capital hieroglyph.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have, lowercase hieroglyphs.
Did they have tricksters in Egypt?
I don't know. Rachel still hasn't got back to me about the other ones. So,
did they have grebes in Egypt?
Egyptian grebes.
Right, that's number two.
So I make out that we've been... how long we've been recording for? 40 minutes?
1 hour and 8 minutes.
But how long of that is actual...
Oh, without chat, probably 50 minutes. I think it was 20. Okay. I was recording for 20 minutes before we actually started recording the episode,
We're not going to get through all these, so I'm...
Pick your best bits, mate.
I'm going to do the best bits.
You always do this. You panic and get too much prepared.
I know. I don't know why. I do this all the time.
I used to do it. I've got better at it now. That's why that last Aliens one, I was like, I'm just doing two cases, because I know I always prepare like five and we don't get through them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do one really quickly, actually. So, have you guys heard of the Ketepinom scrolls?
Ketepinom scrolls?
The Ketef found at. So, this is. That's the location.
What is it, beginning with a K or a P?
It's K. Yeah, Ketef. K E T E F. Hinnom.
Oh.
No,
I don't know.
No. Neither had I until yesterday, but these were discovered in 1979 by an Israeli archaeologist called Gabriel Barkay. He was excavating a tomb and came across these scrolls. When they actually got dug into a little bit more, they discovered just how important they were.
Bit of archaeology punnage for you there. archaeology humour.
They've been scholars have been looking into them for a long time now, for about 40 years. Archaeologists have been sort of deciphering them and discovering more and more about them as time goes on. But they've now described the scrolls to be one of the most significant discoveries ever made, which they all say that, don't they? But apart from the significance for modern language of the development of, again, it's the Hebrew alphabet. It's linguistics again, and understand the Hebrew language and how it was used. And then the more they understand about that, the more they can understand about the culture of the time and, blah, blah, blah. But the scrolls preserve the earliest known citations of texts that are also found in the Hebrew Bible. And again, lots of use of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be, you can find. So some of what's on the scrolls is precisely the same language that's found in the book of Numbers. So, which is in the Old Testament. It's obviously, it's not the entire of the book of Numbers, but it's a lot of what's on these scrolls.
Why is it called the book of Numbers? Is this a load of numbers?
That's a good question. Let me find out for you. It's probably going to be a really boring... Yeah, it's going to be a really boring answer, isn't it?
Because it was written by, like, John Numbers or something.
Okay. Yeah, it is a really boring answer. So basically, the Book of Numbers is named for... So God's instruction to Moses to number or count all of the Israelite males.
Oh, okay.
So it's literally something really boring.
Okay. It's a much more evocative name than the actual what it actually is. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Book of Numbers sounds mysterious.
Yeah. So that's it. It's not very exciting name.
Yeah, that's fun. And now I know, though.
That's it. You learn something new every day. Dr. James Davila has similarly... He's pointed out that whilst the scrolls show Some of the material found in the Five Book of Moses. They're also proof that the Five Book of Moses, so that's Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and the fifth one. it's proof that the it's also called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible.
Okay.
Of Moses were in existence during the first temple period. So if you're an archaeologist, you're going to love this sort of stuff. But I've included it simply because it's, in terms of what it actually is, it's a very significant find.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now going to move on to another one. This is one that I found pretty funny when I read about it yesterday. So some archaeologists in... I'm just waiting for my notes to move on.
Jerusalem.
This is a doozy about King Herod. We all know about King Herod from Tiss's...
He had that hat.
Yeah, Tiss's hat.
King Herod had that funny hat, or something.
That's it.
Pointy hat.
That's the one.
Pointy hat. That was it. The pointy hat.
King Herod's pointy hat.
Well, I can't remember which episode it was where you can find Tiss's...
Tiss's Bible stories. It was the first ever Tiss's Bible story about
King Herod.
Yeah.
But there's archaeologists have found out a lot of information about King Herod. Obviously, he's a lot further along down the timeline, so it's probably easier to kind of find what we need to find as time goes on.
And he's a king.
So there's a lot more.
So it would have been, he's more likely to be documented.
Yeah, exactly. So, for example, they found out that he was a bit of a green thumb. So he loved a bit of gardening, apparently.
A bit of a grebo.
Bit of a grebo.
It was a bit of a grebo. A bit of a green thumb. Ooh.
A bit of a green thumb. So a bit of a keen gardener. They found some soil samples at the at his Jericho palace, where they found pollen particles that revealed some really sophisticated horticulture from that time. But one that I love is they found Herod's seaside entertainment complex. So they found Herod's version of Pontins, basically.
Oh, that's where Tiss was last week. It wasn't Herod's plaid, was it?
I don't think so. But, so basically we're talking about Herod's Basilica in Ashkelon. But he was known for just living this extremely lavish lifestyle.
I was going to say, like, what sort of stuff are you going to get in an entertainment complex at that time? Because it's not going to be, like, slot machines and stuff, is it? It's going to be women getting their cut off, isn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine Game of Thrones type stuff. Just loads of sex and orgies and debauchery and gambling. Probably gambling drinking, yeah. Drinking, like...
Drinkling and gambling.
Loads of sexling and orderling.
Probably, is there going to be fighting?
Yeah, a little bit. So probably a bit probably of, gonna be fighting. What is it called, like, is it called baiting?
We're doing what?
Not masturbating. Just baiting, like, what's it called?
Bear baiting.
When you get, like, yeah, I guess so. Probably not with bears, but...
Dog fights and stuff, animal fights.
Yeah, I guess so. But probably with like lower class.
Well, that would be with gambling,
scumbags.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Loads of gambling. They would have done gambling like around, and women as well. Don't forget, women were like basically treated like scum as well, and weren't considered
bestiality.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. I didn't really want to Google that, to be honest, either. So. But he basically built this structure. So this has been discovered sort of gradually over time, over decades. They've been unearthing the foundations of this palace, this fortress, where he basically housed his guests. I suppose it was a bit more like a guest house, but essentially it's like a modern day version of a like an entertainment complex. Like there was, so in his palaces, there were fortresses. There was all sorts of, like they would have like live shows, so theatres, mm-hmm. And like games areas and areas for gambling, areas for drinking. But it's bigger than a football field, so it's pretty big.
Mm.
Oh, there we go.
The other measurement we do, buses and football
bigger
fields.
Bigger than buses and football fields. It's not.
How many bathtubs is that?
It's bigger than bathtubs. It's quite a few bathtubs. First excavated, there we go, over a century ago. So they're now re-excavating it and developing it.
Reopening it.
To basically create like a modern day entertainment complex, but not like a Pontins, just basically like a nice gardens, I think. So they're doing like a King Herod's gardens, because he's obviously, with him being a bit of a green thumb, I think they're trying to turn it into like a little...
Right, okay. focus on the gardening, not the...
Not the fact he killed all those babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good PR move.
That's what he gets remembered as. But...
He didn't do it with his own two hands, though, did he? He just ordered it.
I guess so. No, I don't think he had much to do with the building of it.
Yeah, I don't... No, I mean killing the kids.
Oh, killing the kids? Sorry, yeah.
The infanticide. He didn't go and do it himself one by one. He just ordered it, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't do it himself.
That would have taken him all night.
It would have taken him a very long time. In response to your question, I think you'll probably be quite disappointed, to be honest, but Rachel just says, I think all times have their own version of dark humour.
Yeah.
So maybe they did. Maybe it was a trickster making the cursed stone. I don't know. Could have been.
Might be.
Depends what they would have classed as dark humour.
You never know. Any of this stuff we analyse could have just been someone fucking around. I think of the things that people in the future could find of ours and think put importance onto, and it's just someone dicking around.
Yeah. Like most of the internet.
Yeah. Find an old like Beano magazine and be like, look at this old text.
Yeah,
exactly. <Isn't>
it? Sir Dennis.
I mean, I think it's a bit, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a bit more complex than that.
This historical figure and his gnashing dog, and then they think it's a real story, like non-fiction. He got up all sorts of japes and hijinks.
Yeah, it is the most obvious answer.
So we've got a couple more.
Right.
I reckon we can do... Yeah, let's see if we can squeeze in two more.
Depends how off topic we get, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. This could be... I'll pick one as if it's the last one.
We've got the Cursed Tablet, we've got the Rosetta Stone, we've got them... The scrolls? I can't keep forgetting the name of them.
The Ketef Hinnom Scrolls.
Ketef Hinnom Scrolls and Herod's Basilica or Herod's Seaside Pad. So what con? Give us another one then.
Let's do one, and if it's not my last one, then at least I've got it in there.
Might get a bonus.
Yeah, might get a... No. You mentioned it right at the very beginning. I did say we were going to talk about it. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah, that's the biggie, right?
That's the classic, and it really is. It really is.
They have come up before. I can't remember if I brought them up on my briefly. It wasn't in depth in my biblical conspiracies episode. I don't know if they came up on that at some point. I feel like they might have, and then they came up on something earlier. But we've never really talked about them much.
I think it was you. Yeah, we kind of alluded to them. We talked to them about them a little bit, but not
they're
great detail.
It's dense. You could do a whole episode just on the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's so much to it, I think.
Yeah, so I'm not really doing it a great load of justice by just kind of shoving it in.
But they do bear mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I could do an episode like this and not mention it. So what do we know about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Nothing at the minute because my iPad's frozen.
What do you remember about the Dead Sea Scrolls, if anything, Tis?
I think the thing I heard was something about Dead Sea Scrolls was... Oh, fuck, there was... I can't remember the name now. There's early religions. Gnostics, that's it. Gnosticism was to do with it, and something to do with a mushroom cult, and, like, I think we spoke about it before...
Yeah, I can't remember. We've definitely...
That book, Mushroom in the Holy Cross or something.
That rings a bell. I don't know if that's what Beef's going to tell us about, the Mushroom in the Holy Cross.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much about mushrooms. So, 1947, the world received pretty much the most significant biblical artifact, of all time. But it was discovered by this shepherd, just like a young shepherd, just discovered along the shore of the Dead Sea. He found them just bit by bit. So I think he found one bit and then would make his way into different caves along the shore and gradually just found an enormous amount of parchment, which, and this is what makes the Dead Sea Scrolls so significant. So the whole scrolls, everything that they found over time. So I think it started off with this shepherd, and then eventually it's, I think they kind of discovered just how important they were. And then it was like all hands on deck. We're gonna find as much as we can because this is good stuff here. Good stuff here is this verbatim what they said. but the scrolls cover the entire Hebrew Bible, except for the Book of Esther. So pretty much the whole of the Old Testament is there. They date back to the late 3rd century BC. But so two reasons make this significant. First is the quantity, like I just mentioned, so the fact that they cover such an enormous amount of text, you know, the fact that it's almost the entire of the Old Testament apart from the Book of Esther. It's also how much it reveals about Jewish culture from the time. The amount of information we've learnt from the people that lived through these texts is really significant as well, because they don't just hold the Hebrew Bible. They've also got information about some non-biblical writing. So about different religious groups that lived and worked in the surrounding areas. And there's just lots of information there about Second Temple Jewish culture, which just unveiled a lot of information really in terms of how to interpret Jewish scripture. You know, you can't really interpret something completely until you understand the people it was written to and what they believed, how they lived, what they did. So that's why it's so significant. That's why it's something which is talked about, and the fact that you guys even know about them shows just how great a find it was, really.
Mm. Oh, well, is that supposed to be offensive? In fact, even morons like you have heard of them.
Did I say morons? I didn't say morons.
No, but you said you guys have heard of them.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just meant, it wasn't meant in a bad way. No, I just meant like...
You people.
This isn't your area of, I don't know, interest, I suppose, in the same way that I know nothing about the history of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an equivalent now and I can't think of anything. I don't know. I in the same way that I don't know where to rave or what a rave even is, that's, you know, and Tiss has got the history of raves on his tongue at any given moment. That's all I meant. Sorry, boys, it wasn't meant as a slight to you.
I didn't think it was.
No, I'm fucking with you.
No, I know. So, and like I said, I could go on and on and on about them. At one point, I was kind of considering doing an episode on them completely, but it's kind of... Hang on, I remember saying this. I remember saying to you guys I wanted to do it, but there was a documentary that just did it for me, and it was a lot more interesting to watch. And it's still on YouTube if you wanted to watch it. It's 50 minutes long.
Hey, guy, I'll put it in the show notes.
Just slap it in there and give it a watch if you want. There's also... I haven't watched it, but I'm pretty sure if you've got Disney Plus subscription, there's some Dead Sea Scrolls stuff in there. There's a documentary that features the Dead Sea Scrolls.
In the Nat Geo section?
Yeah. There's quite a lot of stuff, actually, in the Nat Geo section.
There's a lot of good stuff on there. We have a lot more on Disney Plus in the UK than they do in America, though.
Really?
Yeah, well, we don't have Hulu in the UK. Disney Plus in the UK is Disney Plus and Hulu.
In America, is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or near enough. There's loads and loads of stuff they don't get in America that we have on our Disney Plus. Because we have Star as well.
Yeah, Star's...
The Star section is basically Hulu, I think.
Is it? Oh, okay. And that's
which is two
Malcolm
different services.
And...
Yeah. Yeah. So Star is... we get it in the UK and Canada, I think.
Okay.
So Disney Plus, a lot better value over here.
Isn't bad, is it really? I'm just trying to find It's done that really annoying thing where it's like blocked me out of the article because I need to create an account and pay for it, but I've already got it, so I just need to. I'm just going to unlock it on my phone instead. Have we got time for one more, do we think?
We got time for a quickie. Go on. Give us a quickie, Beef.
I'm going to do a quickie because actually it's pretty cool. It's a pretty good one. Okay. So, did you guys know that they'd found Jesus's tomb?
Maybe that's what I was thinking of earlier when I talked about the foreskin.
Yeah, maybe. It's a bit more than the foreskin.
Where is the tomb?
It is, I can tell you exactly where it is. So researchers have, so this was 2016.
How do they know it's his tomb? Was he in it?
Yeah, he's still there, yeah. No, so it, in the Gospels, it tells you that Jesus's tomb was Joseph's. He was buried in Joseph's tomb.
Right.
So you know how, I think we mentioned this ages ago in one of the pods, that each family had its own tomb, basically. So Joseph's family had its own tomb and you would be buried in your family's tomb.
And this is Joseph, his like dad, basically.
Yeah. Stepdad Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was buried in his tomb.
He's not the stepdad. He's the dad that stepped up.
But this is something I would highly recommend. This is also on Nat Geo on Disney Plus. I think it's called The Secrets of Christ's Tomb or something like that.
Right.
I think it is just like a one-off episode, but it's they keep finding him. They keep finding all sorts of stuff around this tomb.
Oh, I think it's just that they keep finding this tomb like it's moving. They keep finding this bloody tomb.
But researchers have investigated the site where the body of Jesus is traditionally believed to have been buried, and their findings appear to confirm that portions of the tomb are still present today, having survived centuries of damage and destruction.
Were there any remains in the tomb?
No.
Would there be after that long?
That's a very good question. I mean, because obviously if you're Christian, you're going to go, well, no, because he didn't stay in there.
He got up and wandered off.
Exactly. But no, that's a very good point. I think it would be pretty normal.
He didn't go back to his tomb, though. When he got up and walked off, he didn't go back to...
No, he didn't.
Like he went back to bed. Anyway, where was I? Like he got up for a glass of water in the night. Yeah, I never really thought about that. I never thought about, like, in my brain, I was like, yeah, and then he went back to his tomb the next day. But no, that doesn't make any sense at all. He just sort of wandered off. He hitchhiked into the distance like the Incredible Hulk.
He's done with it. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what happened, yeah. I mean,
his work here was done.
So, again, this is probably where Rachel would be better speak. But I think, from my understanding, it would depend on the person. It would depend on the family. But sometimes you'd be buried with... Well, I guess the same as... Oh, no, some people still do this, I suppose. You used to get buried with... like items or different things that maybe had significant meaning or sentimental value. So I can't remember because Rachel and I watched this on Discovery during like the first lockdown. So I really can't remember. I need to watch it again.
Good old days, lockdown one.
I know, right? I think they did find a couple of bits and pieces, but because it's such a long time ago, it's difficult to know. Is this stuff that's kind of, that would have been buried with Jesus, or is it stuff that's kind of just over years of damage and decay, it's kind of just like sunk to to this place? But it's, I'm just going to read this straight from here. But the tomb consists of a limestone shelf or burial bed that was hewn from the wall of a cave. And since 1555, the burial bed has been covered in marble cladding, allegedly to prevent eager pilgrims from removing bits of the original rocks as souvenirs. So they've kind of, it's almost like they've rediscovered it. So it was first discovered centuries ago.
Right.
And they believed it to be Jesus' tomb because of the location. It's exactly where the Gospels say it is. But I think they kind of, you know, basically tried to cover it and keep it hidden to keep people from... And you can now. I think now it's, again, I could be wrong. My memory might be wrong, but I seem to remember
it's basically a pilgrimage site now that you can go to and just kind of have a little look. But this is Friedrich Hebert, who is one of the archaeologists who's there continuously, basically. He says, "I'm absolutely amazed. My knees are shaking a little bit because I wasn't expecting this. We can't say 100%, but it appears to be visible proof that the location of the tomb has not shifted through time, something that scientists and historians have wondered for decades. In addition, researchers confirmed the existence of the original limestone cave, which encloses the tomb. A window has been cut into the interior wall to expose one of the cave walls." So it's kind of like, if you Google it, it's kind of hard to describe what it looks like. But it's essentially this big kind of dome tomb in the middle of, I think what they've probably done is built a church around it for people to go and visit.
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at a picture of it now.
So the big question, I suppose, to finish off is, was this really the tomb of Jesus? How could how could we possibly suggest?
I don't think it's possible to know. I think, but sometimes people want to believe something. Mm. And if that helps them give some physicality to their faith, who am I to be like, no, it's not.
You can't have it.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it's not harming anyone. They can be pretty accurate. Obviously, over time, our archaeologists learn as time goes on, but I think it's pretty... So whilst it's impossible to say that it was actually Jesus's tomb, there is evidence to suggest that it's very plausible, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's as certain as you can be. Very plausible. I don't think you'd ever be able to say 100% for certain.
No, of course not. But I suppose you couldn't really say that about lots of findings, I suppose. No. But the earliest accounts of Jesus' burial come from the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And whilst there are variations in the details, the accounts consistently describe how Jesus' tomb was built in a rock-cut tomb belonging to Joseph. And archaeologists have identified more than 1,000 tombs in the area around Jerusalem. So it's like I say, it's impossible to know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And each tomb was kind of consisted of different burial chambers. So even then, it would be difficult to know whether that exact one was the one that Jesus would have been buried in. But it's the closest you could possibly get to suggesting that that was the exact place that Jesus was buried. But I would heavily recommend go and watch the episode, even if you're not particularly religious. Go and check it out. It's an interesting documentary. If you've got Disney Plus, then go check it out. If you haven't, just get it off a friend. Just use their login or something. It's not long. I think it's like 50 minutes. Either way, it's below an hour. Like go check it out. It's interesting. And if you're a historian, then it's definitely going to be up your street. And that concludes everything.
Lovely stuff.
I've done exactly the same as I've done every other time and planned some more, but we definitely ran out of time because of all the waffling.
Just say the names of some we didn't go do.
Yeah, so let me just find the ones we weren't. So you can go check them out in your own time. There's the Epic of Gilgamesh.
All right.
Which is 12 tablets which recount essentially the story of Noah. The Crucified Man at Givat Hamvitar, which is a biblical find in terms of it reveals more about Roman crucifixions. But it kind of gives some pretty gnarly details as to how a crucifixion actually would have, exactly how it would have killed you, and mm-hmm. what the Romans did to ensure that you suffered greatly. It wasn't like obviously no death is a nice death, but this was a pretty horrific one. There's Pontius Pilate Street. So, a little street kind of constructed by Pilate.
Just a little street.
And the Siloam Pool, S-I-L-O-A-M Pool, Siloam Pool, which you can find in Gospel of John. It's people go there on pilgrimages all the time. It's where Jesus healed a blind man.
Oh yeah.
So it's considered to be like a sacred area. I think that's it. Those are the only ones we didn't get to do. We did all the other ones.
I'm sure there's like many, many more as well.
Thousands. Yeah. Thousands and thousands.
Yeah. Thanks, Beefy.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. And anything else. Thanks for the crude joke about Bonashart.
That was a good one.
It was. It was, I think. I think it was one of your better ones.
The more distance from it, the more I question how good it was.
I'm happy about
it. Listeners, if you thought it was a good one, if you want to get in contact, you can do so at wtatupod@gmail.com. You can find us on the website weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. If you go on there, you can find links to anything you need to know. That's it. Can't bother to do longer outros anymore.
I mean, it was a good one in terms of how funny we found it, but I feel like in a moment yes. I'm going to go and try and explain it to Rachel and she'll go...
Oh, yeah, not funny at all.
She'll go, oh, right, okay.
I'll even, when I come to edit it, I'll be like, what were we finding so funny here? I won't cut it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway.
Are we wrapped?
Yeah.
I think we're wrapped. Yeah, we're done. We're finished.
Time for my beddy.
I'm trying to think. I was trying to think of a pun. Until next time.
What?
There isn't anything.
It's not going to happen, mate.
No, there isn't anything. I just still find it funny that we thought we were going to find one every single episode.
I can't believe we thought we'll bring them back. And since we said we'll bring them back, we've had like two. I wish we never brought them back. I wish we never resurrected them.
How long ago did we resurrect it?
Like a year. okay, so thanks for listening, everyone. Love you lots. Until next time, I wish we never resurrected this pun streak, just like Jesus was resurrected from that tomb.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bonus shot.
Rob, what's his name's dead, isn't it?
Rolf Harris.
Talking of dirty bastards. Yeah, Rolf Harris.
Is he actually?
Yeah, he died yesterday.
Yeah, he's dead.
Shit.
He's didgeridoo dead.
Oh, mate. Didgeridoo dead.
Literally, like, no one gave a fuck. It was like, Rolf Harris is dead. He was on the news. They might as well have just been like, anyway, they're just like, Rolf Harris, known sex offender, Rolf Harris dead. Anyway, another news. Like, no one gave a fuck.
No.
That's mad.
No. Well, you wouldn't really want them to, would you?
He didn't get away with it, did he? He got caught out before he died. Saville, he got like all the fucking bells and whistles when he died and then found out Rolf Harris, none of that shit.
Yeah.
Get fucking out.
Good out, mate.
I think this time last week I was really like, what am I going to do? I'm probably putting too much pressure on myself because I was thinking, it's got to be good.
It hasn't.
and then, but actually... I settled on this subject, and I'm pleased with it.
Okay, good.
So I'm happy. Ultimately, I'm happy. It's good. So, yeah. Okay. I'm going really weird. I'm doing a tiss. I need to not look at you or something.
You're getting all giggly.
I am. I'm getting really giggly. Oh...
Class.
That's got to be the most juvenile joke I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's good, that is.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.